on the Vermont Sports Network. This is the Cat's Den. Now, here is your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? It is the Cat's Den, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. Short show going up until 6:30 because we got Bruins hockey on these airwaves tonight. You can always get in 802-655-6672. Again, Bruins and Panthers coming up from Florida at 6:30. So we'll get right to it. UVM men's basketball wins last night. Good win, completing a three-game road sweep of D.C. area opponents. They beat George Washington, they beat Towson, and they beat George Mason. Two of those wins are against Atlantic 10 teams, the other one out of a team in the Colonial Athletic Conferences. All three of those teams, better leagues than Vermont competes in the America East. So hopefully that really bad loss that UVM had against Bucknell a couple of Sundays ago, hopefully the bad taste is gone from that one. Good win yesterday. 19 points from Ernie Duncan, 19 points from Anthony Lamb. We're going to talk about the key to this Catamount season. We'll also get into UVM hockey before we get into Bruins hockey as well. I have figured it out what the key to this UVM basketball season is, and I don't say that arrogantly because I think it's pretty obvious to see. The three-point line is what defines this UVM basketball team. It's what defines this UVM basketball season. It is very, very evident what UVM wants to do. They want to hit the three, and they want to defend the three-point line. And that is what they have determined to be the key in winning games both in the America East and out of the America East. More so out of the America East. Look, it's nice when you have a big man. It's nice when every player on the court fits a certain role, right? Hey, the short, fast guy plays point guard. The big, slow guy plays center. Okay, you want to have as many big people as possible playing down low and as many fast people as possible playing outside and then be able to hit some threes to boot. That's nice when we conceptually think about it. That's how it looked when we grew up, right? The tall guy plays center, the short guy plays point guard and can dribble. That's how it goes. UVM doesn't play that way. The America East doesn't really play that way. Because let's be honest, how many impactful big men has the America East had in the last 5 years that are true low post presences that can will their team to a win playing down low? I can think of two. Sam Rowley playing for UAlbany and Jameel Warney playing Stony Brook. The big man doesn't really exist because, let's be honest, and it's not a knock at them, but if there's a guy like Azubuike who plays for Kansas, if that guy exists who's a freak athletically, can finish around the rim like that, he's not playing in the America East. The big man doesn't exist at the America East at that kind of level. Okay, Jameel Warney did. Sam Rowley was very good. That's about it. You might be able to find me another one. Ethan O'Day was very good, but also was a freak athletically, but isn't truly just a post player like Jameel Warney was. Okay, that guy doesn't really exist. So what has the America East identified that they need to do? They're going to get more shorter, quick players that are going to get up and down in transition, and they're going to shoot a bunch of threes and hope to make them. And hopefully their team does it better than the other team that they're playing. And if they're going to play a bigger school like a Kansas that has a guy like Azubuike, the goal is, hey, our short guys are going to be much more athletic than your short. You know, our guys are going to be quicker and faster than your guys at all five positions, we hope. And we're going to neutralize your big man threat because we can't contain that guy. You can't contain an Azubuike. What we can do is you can get him 14 points down low, and we'll try to get 21 from outside, and we're going to neutralize it that way. The three-point line has become the key to the Catamount season. How do they shoot it, and how do they defend it? And it sounds simple. And that's kind of how college basketball is right now. I remember thinking and talking with Tom Curl, who's the head basketball coach at Plattsburgh, and Plattsburgh was nationally ranked last year, and they're awesome, and still again this year with guys like Jonathan Patron, who they do have, who is a big man, ironically enough, but they were putting up 90 points, 95, 93, 81. They're going to play Middlebury tonight. They're going to try to get up and down the court. And I said, Tom Curl, hey, you're a Division III team. You don't think of those guys as being able to put up 100 points, 95 points. And he said, look, we recognized that today's game, shoot the three and defend the other team. And when you start going through the UVM box scores, that should be the first thing that you look at now. No longer is it, okay, just about rebounding. No longer is it just about free throws. All of those things matter. I've given you my recipe for beating an up, you know, for pulling an upset, and all of those things still apply. But now, when you watch this UVM team, look at the three-point line first, and look at yesterday. UVM wins by five. Why? They hit six threes. George Mason hit three. Right there. 9-point difference. Team wins by five. You get nine more at the three-point line. Beat George Washington. More threes. Beat Towson. More threes. Okay? Lose to Kansas. LeGerald Vick goes 8 from 8 from three. Team hits 12, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, for the Jayhawks. Okay? Look, when you watch UVM basketball this year, you're going to see a lot of threes taken. And it's going to come down to how many do they make versus what the other team makes. If you get a team that makes identical to what UVM makes from beyond the arc, that game's a coin flip. If you get UVM makes 9 and the other team makes 4, Catamounts probably win that game. And that's how they've chosen to play. And that's what they have decided we can do well. Okay? We don't have Jameel Warney down low. We don't have Peyton Henson down low. Yeah, we have Anthony Lamb, who's a great player down low, but he's diversified his game to the point where he could play on the outside and play on the perimeter, and he's not a guy you just stick down there. Okay? When I was working at Albany, Sam Rowley never left the paint. Jameel Warney never left the paint for Stony Brook. Those guys couldn't. Anthony Lamb can. He's a diverse player with a diverse skill set. He doesn't need to just be stuck down there to clog up things. They say, we're going to play five guys who can play on the perimeter, five guys who can shoot. Ernie Duncan can shoot. Steph Smith can shoot. Anthony Lamb can shoot. Isaiah Moles allowed to shoot. Even though he struggled yesterday, he was 1 of 10 from the floor. Okay, we trust him to shoot. That is how this team plays. And the next coach that we have on, whether it's John Becker, Ryan Schneider, Kyle Saplicki, or Hamlet Tibbs, or other, I'll be saying to them, when did you find out that that was the best way that this team should play? Because that is what we see these Catamounts do. And it reminds me of a question that comes out of something that Spurs head coach Greg Popovich said. And I want you to get in on this. 802-655-6672. Greg Popovich said this. He said, there's no basketball anymore. There's no beauty in it. It's pretty boring. But it is what it is, and you need to work with it. Greg Popovich says, today's basketball is boring. There's no beauty in it. And you know what? I would say he's partially right there. Okay, if by beauty you mean, hey, here's five passes and we set up this in the pick and roll, and off the pick and roll we create a wide open jump shot for somebody, you don't see that as much anymore. You do it the NBA, but in the college game it gets muddled a bit too, and even in the bad NBA teams it gets muddled. You've lost some of that artistry, but because basketball has become a track meet. Okay, and that's what's made it appealing to some people, that basketball has become a track meet. Constant action, predicated on athleticism, predicated on speed, predicated on point totals. Think about this. There's a reason why soccer hasn't taken off in this country. Okay, low scoring. There's the artistry you're talking about. We're going to move the ball methodically up the field, and maybe we get two goals. Okay, people don't love soccer in this country. You know what people love? People love lacrosse. Why? Fast pace, high octane, energy. There's some artistry there in the fact that there's some unbelievable athleticism and shots over the head and behind the back and through the legs, and there's just some raw athleticism to it. That is a track meet. That's what basketball is too now in a lot of ways, and people have liked that. Okay? What do I hear about baseball not being fun? Not enough action. Basketball has said we're going to get more action and we're going to get more handsomely rewarded for that action because we're going to hit more threes, we're going to get up and on the court, and people are going to like it. Okay, I hear football, more fun, 46-43, more fun, 38-35, more fun, back and forth, Chiefs-Rams, greatest game ever. Why? Up and down the floor. That's what these basketball teams are creating. No, the beauty of the 1970s isn't there anymore, but there's still something that the fans tell me is beautiful about sports that get up and down the court or up and down the field in a track meet style. And every sport is different in what they've gained versus what they've lost. Yes, basketball has lost some of that technique. Okay, the women's game is far more technically sound than the men's game. Okay, we have lost some of that technique. And some of the things that appeal to the old regimented basketball coach we grew up playing for, that a lot of that's gone because it is helter-skelter track meet style. Okay, we've lost some of that, but we've gained higher point totals, more fan interest. Think about football, okay? You lost the big hit across the middle. You've lost the some of the better blocking on the offensive line, some of the things that were a staple of football just 15 years ago. You've lost some of that and how the game has changed. What have you gained? More innovative offensive minds, more trick plays, more creativity, better use for athletes that maybe didn't even have a place in the league 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Julian Edelman couldn't play in 1992. Okay? Darren Sproles couldn't play in 1992. We found roles for these guys. We've lost something, but we've gained something. Baseball, we've lost a lot, and we're trying to see if we've gained anything. That's why the game is in a troubled spot, people think. We've lost the ball in play. We've gained more home runs. We've gained more strikeouts. We've gained the power parts of the game. Is that good? We don't know yet. So Greg Popovich is right. We've lost something in basketball, but a lot of people do still think it's beautiful, and that is how UVM is playing. It is the Cats Den, 101.3 The Game at 1013thegame.com. Town Fair Tire text line is open, 802-655-6672. Brady, you really think lacrosse is more popular in the United States than soccer? Maybe more people will, maybe, you know, look, ratings for the World Cup is going to be better than ratings for a lacrosse game. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the country, okay? And there's a reason for that. If you're asking me how lacrosse translates on TV versus soccer, well, no, it doesn't have the international appeal that soccer does. So more people are going to watch soccer, yes. But soccer isn't as popular, and more people exponentially are growing and playing lacrosse than they are playing soccer, and the numbers have backed that up. All right, when we come back, UVM men's hockey. I've already punted on this year. I'm going to tell you why next year is the biggest year for the program. That's next, Cats Den, 101.3 The Game. All right, welcome back. It is the Cats Den, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. Bruins hockey coming up bottom of the hour, 6:30. We send you out Bruins against the Florida Panthers. Bees over trying to overcome the injury bug. It has been pretty unbelievable how what's happened to the Bruins this season. We're going to talk to the voice of the Bruins on Nesson tomorrow, Jack Edwards, as he joins us in the huddle. A lot of people getting in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Chris in Hinesburg, a sweet pass at full speed is pretty impressive and fun to watch. Also, unnamed, how is watching someone swish a 30-footer not fun to watch? Greg Popovich is just mad that the league is outgrowing him. I don't think that's the case, because I don't think the league is outgrowing Greg Popovich. I think Greg Popovich understands where the league is. He just doesn't like it. I think there's a real distinct difference there. Look at the players that he's had. Danny Green could shoot the three. Kawhi Leonard could shoot the three. DeMar DeRozan has worked on his outside game. Pau Gasol would shoot some threes. I mean, he's had players that shoot threes. Okay, he's embraced. He understands where the league is and what he needs to do to remain relevant and competitive. It doesn't mean that he enjoys it, though. I think he likes the fundamental basketball. He likes the fundamental basketball that isn't just about athleticism, let's fly up and down the court. Again, he understands where it is, but not liking it, I think, is where he's at. Jay also doesn't like it. Both basketball and football are no longer as enjoyable to watch. Both games have been re-engineered to cause the offense to have an unfair advantage. Those of us who grew up playing the game on both sides of the ball much prefer to reward the effort in playing defense. NFL ratings are down, which is not true. They're back up again. Basketball is up currently, but I predict it will also fall as the game becomes more and more about the Trae Youngs of the world shooting from half court. It's just not that much fun. Look, I've been saying this. People like offense, right? We like offense as a society. We like instant gratification, and that's what offense is. At some point, there is something that is too much offense, and I don't know what that point is. I'll tell you this. Look, for me, 54-51, Rams-Chiefs, it was entertaining because we expected it to be high scoring, so I got exactly what I was expecting. But all in all, I don't want to see 54-51 in the NFL. For me, that's too much. For me, that is not particularly fun. Look, I don't know what the number is for me. 37-34? 34-31, I'm not sure. But between the lowering the helmet rules, the constant pass interference calls, the constant ticky-tack roughing the passer calls, I don't like the way the NFL has gone about giving the offense too much of an advantage. Okay, it is too easy to score in the NFL. That said, 6-0 Jacksonville over Indy, that wasn't great either. So I don't know where the point is where there's too much offense, but there's a point there. As far as the NBA, it's the same thing. And I don't think anybody wants to see 82-79 constantly. I don't think anybody wants to watch that. But I also don't think people want to see 140 to 137. That's not fun either. I don't know what the number that I want is in the NBA. I don't have an exact number in my head. Maybe it's 108, 104. Maybe it's 110, 106. I don't know. But again, you can't play zone defense in the NBA. You can't hand check. The game has evolved to where the analytics are saying it's better for three-point shooting. All of those things lead to those increased scoring totals. At some point, there's too much offense. So I agree with that texter that I want to reward the defense to some degree, but I also don't think that you want 82-79 or 6-0 in the NFL. 802-655-6672. I want to get to UVM hockey because this is important. Catamounts took 1 point from Maine over the weekend. They're 4-7-1 on the year. They're 1-6-1 in the conference. I've punted on this year, and that's fine. Look, go to the games if you want. I'm not saying I won't go to games. Go to the games, root for the Cats, hope that they improve as the season goes on. That's important. That's what a loyal supporter should do. Okay, you should do that. Don't boycott the team just because they're struggling. Go see A-level talent. Go enjoy Gutterson Fieldhouse before it gets its transformational renovation in a couple of years. Go to the games, root for the team, support the program. They need it. You need it. The community needs it. That said, I've punted any expectations for the year of anything happening, right? The win over Michigan, who was a top five team in the country to start the season, that is long ago in my memory. Next year is the make or break year for everything in this program, okay? Go watch the games, but have an eye towards next year. Go support the team, but go have an eye towards next year when you're at Gutterson Fieldhouse, and here's why. Next year is the it year, okay? The urgency needs to be real. Any possible excuses about struggling are gone. I mean, listen to what next year's Cats are going to have. You're going to be in Kevin Snedden's final year, okay? I've told you this a couple weeks ago. There's a decision that needs to be made there. And again, I don't watch enough X's and O's hockey for UVM to tell you if Kevin Snedden is a great coach or not. I don't. Okay, full transparency. I like UVM hockey. I'll watch the games. I don't go through it with a fine-tooth comb like I do basketball. I can't tell you what he's doing versus what other coaches are doing and what's good and what's bad. I'm not saying fire Kevin Snedden. I'm not saying keep him. I'm just saying next year he's in the final year of his contract. So make or break year for him. Okay, the team needs to be good. For him to keep his job, the team needs to be good because it's not about firing him. It's just about his contract's up. Are you going to extend him or are you not? So make or break year for Kevin Snedden. The urgency will be real. The desire to win will be real because he's fighting for his job. Also, you'll have a senior goaltender next year. Okay, Stefanos Lekas is awesome. Routinely, when the team wins, hey, Stefanos Lekas had 46 saves. Hey, Stefanos Lekas had 44 saves. Hey, they lost, but Stefanos Lekas had 39 saves out of 41 shots. Okay, you have a senior stud goaltender next year. So there's no excuse about goaltending. That's 100% not going to be an excuse for next year's team to struggle potentially. Moving forward even more with UVM, they are going to be a veteran team. All I've heard for the last 2 years is, hey, this is a young team. Well, next year, you're going to have 19 juniors or seniors. If everybody's back next season, you're going to have 19 juniors or seniors on next year's Catamount roster. Youth isn't an excuse. Youth isn't a reason. Look, you want to tell me the team struggled last year because, hey, we're mostly freshmen and sophomores? Okay. This year even, hey, we're mostly freshmen and sophomores? Okay. Well, next year you're not. 19 juniors and seniors will be on next year's team if everybody's back. Youth isn't an excuse next year. It's the make or break year. Senior goaltender, 19 upperclassmen on your roster next season. A coach who's going to have real urgency to get the program where it needs to be, which is the upper middle of Hockey East. And oh, by the way, the looming arena issue is solved. There's going to be a new arena. And that's going to help you in your recruiting. That should have already helped in this year's recruiting class. You have a real idea of where the program is going in the future that you haven't had. You've had clarity. You get clarity now to where the program is going in the future that you haven't had before. And that's awesome for the program. But all of those things are settled now. Youth is gone. Great goaltender is there. He's got experience. The coach has an urgency to him, and the arena question is no longer up in the air. because all of that is decided, the program needs to be, I mean, next year is the make or break year, because 4-7-1 and 1-6-1 in the league is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. And I hear it from you fans on the text line. I hear it from you fans on Facebook that you want a team that wins like the basketball team does. Well, next year, that's when it needs to happen. Everything is pointing in your favor. Maybe it hasn't pointed in your favor in the past, but it is now. Next year is the year. Go to the games for the rest of the year. Support the team. Support the university. Wear the green and gold. I implore you to do that. But understand that always be looking towards an eye towards next year, because next year it needs to change. Because next year is a different set of circumstances. All the things that have held back the program this year, they're not there. Youth isn't an excuse. The arena is not an excuse. We have clarity on all of that. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for getting in on the text line. This has been the Cats Den. We'll see you tomorrow with the huddle. Bruins hockey is coming up next. Go to trivia over at the Burger Bar, 101.3 The Game.